Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mary Lurson, and I'm the Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, and welcome to Talking Up Music Education. We are coming live via Facebook on Intertalk Radio, and also will be up at the NAMM Foundation Facebook page as well. And we're here broadcasting live from the NAMM show here in Anaheim, California. So welcome. It's so lovely to have you join us. And please let the world know that we're broadcasting and we're spreading the news about music education. And I'm here with some really wonderful performers from the group Masumi. And I'll let you go around and introduce yourselves, if you'd be so kind.
Okay. Hi, my name is Masumi, and I'm from Japan.
I am Bruno Giusti. I am a guitar player, and I'm from Brazil.
Hello, I'm Diego. I'm the drummer. I'm from Mexico.
So we have this wonderful ensemble. Actually, I must tell you that they just performed for us at the kickoff of our Gen Next program, which is our college, university, music major, and music faculty program. And this is your second time with us. The first time you were with us when you opened for Moby. How many people get to say that?
We're really proud of that.
When Moby was with us for our Grand Rally, our Gen Next program in 2015. So it's lovely to have you back. And after they performed for us, I went running up like a fan would run up and said, "You guys really have changed your sound. It's really, you can tell. So tell us what you've been doing since 2015. Let's start with a little bit of, you know, an update on the career, and then we'll go way back to talk about some of your origin story.
But 2015, after we opened up for Moby, we went on a tour to Tokyo, Japan, and we were there for about a month. And we visited a lot of venues. That was actually the first time for me to play in Japan and seeing so many people respond to my music. It's in English, and that was really amazing. And we got to connect with a lot of people. Musicians like Nathan E supported us for our EP release. And we came back to LA and we did some shows, and we all have our own projects going on as well, individual different projects. So we've been being busy with that, and also for me to continue to write new material, because, you know, music change and my taste has been evolving as a songwriter. And yeah, we've been doing that, writing new material.
So you would self-classify yourself as singer-songwriter.
Yeah, singer-songwriter.
That's what drives the vision and the ideas.
Yes,
of it
for
all.
Me, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Bruno?
Well,
since we were together in 2015.
Involved with Masumi, several other projects. I love music in all sorts of, you know, every path that music can take. I love like marketing and the business part of music. I really believe that musicians in general should develop, you know, have the business part of music a little bit more as a part of their careers, of their journeys, because we are our own companies. We wake up early in the morning to practice. And that's the stuff that I do apart from playing guitar, is coaching musicians, you know, with marketing and business.
And now more than ever.
Yeah.
Right? It is the era of the entrepreneur, right? The musical entrepreneur, to go out and create the market, the communications platform, the visibility platform, everything that, you know, you have to be managing at the same time as you're writing songs and tuning guitars and getting the right equipment to play.
And it's harder and harder for you to, I mean, sustain your career. Not harder, but like there's so many possible ways, right? You love writing, you love playing guitar, you love playing drums, and it's hard to kind of sustain a career in music. So I think the business part of it is important to every musician, and, you know, always learning, always updating whatever you're field is in music.
So. Well, you're kind of in the right place. You're at the NAMM show.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the spirit of everything that drives our NAMM members is to kind of go out and make it, right? Whether it's a product or it's a combination of, you know, tour management, event management, all these things, kind of, we are living together now here at the NAMM show. I have a question about live audiences versus everything that you're doing, but let's first, Diego, tell us.
I love playing live. Always love playing with different people, like meeting new people. I'm always trying to learn as much as I can from everybody. So after, I think that they forgot that, after we came from Japan, we record an EP of like some of the songs that we were playing in Tokyo. So that was really nice. We produce, we arrange all the songs, and I think we wrote one song together, kind of. I mean, yeah. So that was really nice. You can find that EP on Spotify,
Tokyo
iTunes,
Tour.
And I'm just like also like involved in with other people playing, actually trying to play with everybody. So
right. And you're cool. Able to sustain a life, right? All of you are holding it together, right? And it's working. I mean, I think a lot of things that still parents who see their younger children as they grow into young adults, they see them choose these artistic paths and they really kind of worry, right? How is this ever going to be sustainable? And would you say you didn't instantly know how, but it has become sustainable, right?
Yeah, you find your way always. Right. And I think it's like in any other business, like these days, I don't know, everybody has their own phones. They take their own pictures. They film their events. They're not hiring photographers all the time. So photographers had to reinvent their business. And the same happens with us, right? Like it's always like a constant change. And
I think you have to wear many hats, you know, in order to make it work. And I do, besides music, I started doing a little bit of acting, and it feels like a completely different thing. But as an art, it's the same thing. And you have to wear many different hats to be able to sustain yourself, I think.
And I think it's the willingness to embrace that whole picture, right?
Right.
As opposed to, no, I was trained this way and this is what I have to do and the world isn't fitting to my, as opposed now, I think that there's an acceptance. Think of our digital generations that are coming up through. There's an acceptance that this is the platform. There are platforms onto which I can find myself. But the thing that still is precious in all of that is the uniqueness of what you have to offer. You're a unique voice, you're a songwriter, your unique interpretation, and how well you do it. You know, there's something about rigor and quality that sort of just, you know, you can be on social media or not, and somehow you're going to get recognized because you're just really good at it, right?
But I think nowadays you kind of like have to play the game that you have to be on social media, you have to like learn how to, I don't know, record yourself. I don't know, you just have to learn how to do all those things to be in the game of
life. Of life.
Yeah.
Quote unquote. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I love how many times just in a few minutes here you've used the word learn. I mean, I think technology forces us at every age to just gotta keep reaching for something, right? All right. So live audiences. We played for a live audience this morning. It wasn't a huge audience, but it was enthusiastic and appreciative. And it was, and then you're playing in just in a few hours, you're playing again over in one of our live. Why is that going and being fed by a live audience? Why is that still, you know, the touring and the gigs? And why is that just the, you know, needed, right? What does it feed in you?
I think for me, music has always been like kind of having a conversation, you know, with somebody, or maybe it's with myself, but it's always this intimate thing. So for me, when I'm singing in front of people, I don't think of it like a big room with people in it. I feel connected with these people that's there, and I feel like I'm having a conversation with them. Whether or not they're, you know, sometimes they might be looking down or looking somewhere else, but I still feel that music connects me to this stranger. All of a sudden, they don't feel like a stranger to me. They feel like my friends, and I think that's the power of live performance. You know, you can't get that by just turning on your radio and listening to music. You know, it's like this energy that we create.
And do you feel, I want to hear from Bruno and Diego too, but do you feel that people are craving more live music? Is the live music scene, you know, are you having more opportunity in the live music venues, and are there more live music venues?
Yeah, I feel like there are a lot of live music. It's true too that a lot of our favorite live music venues has shut down as well. So I think it's difficult to, you know, sometimes sustain the venue, but I think there's always needs for live music. I think, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that there will always be demand. It's just like, I think the music era we're living in right now is just like, you know, it's shifting. So there's some things is still like in the blind spot, but I think that there's a lot of demand for live music, and people who are not working in music, they want to go out. They want to go out to have whatever, dinner, lunch, or whatever. And when there's music or live music happening, you can tell that they get into the in the place in a certain way, and then they leave better, you know, because of the frequency of the music, whatever the connection that happens between the music and the audience. That's that's something that.
How about you, Diego? What do you think about live music? You two are from Latin countries, so I. You know, we kind of go, we can't do anything unless you have live music, right?
Yeah, true. I think that there's like a special magic when you play live that you can't get like from something else. Just something, for me, something really special when I get there and I start playing. It's just, for me, it's probably like the best like experience that I have so far. Like just go there, even if it's just like a small venue. You go there, you play, and you connect with people without knowing them, you know, just there's just like magic, you know, that you can't get that from something else, like from somebody else.
You know, we have access to so much music now. I mean, you think about it, right? I mean, I just discovered Spotify not long ago on an iPad and connected to a nice Bose Wi-Fi speaker, and what you can experience is just profound to me, you know, old record collections and old broadcasts. And then every now and then I go out to a live performance and there's just no substitute for it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like looking at the ocean or a picture of the ocean or standing by the ocean. Mm-hmm. So everyone listening today, go out and hear live music.
Yeah, go for
it. Right. Support our living artists who are out filling our worlds with reproduced music, but live music. It's really... So quick a review of your origin story. You say that you didn't have a formal music education coming from Japan. Was there music in your childhood, though? It's such a rich music education country.
Right, yeah. I think every young kids play piano, I feel like, and when I was young...
Not necessarily. But I would say probably
a lot of kids, yeah. And so I played piano, but my teacher was very, very extremely strict. So that didn't leave a great memory for me. So I'd never really played piano for enjoyment. I just did it because it was my homework. I had to do it. And then I played at a Japanese drums group for 10 years, and we toured in France, and that was something that I loved doing, but that was it really. I never went to school for any music. I taught myself how to play guitar, like a lot of people do. And then I came to Los Angeles. It was after Japan got hit by this huge tsunami and earthquake, and at the time I was trapped in an underground bar, and you know, I couldn't escape the bar. And when I did escape, it was like a world ending kind of view. Everybody's screaming and glasses
trauma.
Are shattering. Yeah.
Yeah. Tremendous.
Yeah.
Trauma.
And, you know, when people say like, when things like that happen, you just kind of, you get this clarity, you know, I know there's a word for that. I can't think of the word right now,
maybe,
but
it's just clarity.
Yeah. It was just, right? I at the moment I just knew that I didn't want to.
Epiphany,
yes. Exactly. Yeah, I wanted to do music, and that was it. 2 months later, I stopped going to the university I was going, and I came to Los Angeles and went to Los Angeles College of Music.
And that's in the category of risk.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, you were in a high risk situation, and you turned it into another version of a risk.
Right. Yeah.
How about you, Bruno?
Well,
growing up in Brazil,
born and raised in São Paulo, Brazil, a very tough city. I never had access to music education as a child. I remember my first contact with, you know, when I really stopped and paid attention to music was in fourth grade. A friend of mine gave me a CD, this metal band. And I brought it home and I put it on the CD player. And I remember my parents and my brother was like, oh, what is that? You know, that's not good music. But that's what started. And I saw the cover of the CD, the guitar player holding the guitar. And I was like, I want to do that. So, you know, when I was like 13 to 15, I started like taking private lessons. But the situation wasn't the most favorable. So, you know, got a job, went to the university to study marketing, got a job in the marketing field and doing that for 10 years. Then after a certain amount of time, I started like, you know, getting depressed because music was always there, but never really 100% present. And then to the day I decided to quit everything.
You had your epiphany.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I actually met a Brazilian drummer who teaches at the school we went to in front of the American Embassy in São Paulo randomly. We started chatting and I was like, this guy is there making it. I can, you know, try and do the same thing. And then I sold everything, came here, met these guys at LACM. Mm-hmm. And here I am. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're, you know, that theme of learning just came back again. You met on a campus.
Right? Yeah.
Where you were all pursuing kind of the next version of yourself.
Yeah. And that I think is irreplaceable, like to make real connections in music. I think you either have to go to, you know, it's a place where there's a lot of musicians, a lot of art happening 24/7. And if it's not in an environment like that, I think it's harder to really state that you're doing that for.
And that's the essence of the NAMM show, too.
Yeah.
Why people keep coming back to the NAMM show. How about you, Dino?
So I remember that I was always like hitting stuff. Whatever, you know, just
oh, healing. You drummers.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then, so I remember that I asked my parents, hey, could I get a drum set? And they were like, no, that's too loud. You're like, you can get a piano if you want, or like a guitar. And I was always like, no, I want a drum set. So they got it for me when I was 15. I was in high school. So I remember that I was learning how to play by myself. And then I went to this music school to learn how to play jazz. And I graduated from there. And then I moved to Mexico City to study composition. And I don't know, I didn't like something about that school. I say, oh, this is not for me. I need something better. So I quit everything too. I was like teaching at that moment, playing live too. I had a bunch of things going on. I quit everything and say, I'm just going to try. So I came here in 2012 or 2013, I think. And I went to LAMA. Now it's LACM. So that's when I met these guys. And I think that's one of the best, probably one of the best decisions that I made. Came here just to try, you know, because you never know. You never know what's going to happen. But I'm glad that I did.
It's such a theme of our 21st century, especially for young people, that have to follow your passion, right? You have to find purposes. It's all purpose, right? It's all purpose all the time now.
Yeah, you know? It can't be about the money. You have right. to be, there has to be a purpose.
And with purpose, the sustainability follows, right? It might meet a roommate or it might meet a different, but that connects you to community or, right? So what's next? And then we want to hear a little bit of this magic. Last time you left the NAMM show, you went on tour of Japan. Not
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, yeah.
What's next? What's coming down the pike after mm-hmm. this NAMM show?
So I'm recording my new stuff right now, my new material. It's going to be a little bit different from what I've been playing for a while. I think I'm experimenting new sounds and I'm growing as a songwriter. So I'm finishing up recording. And then what's coming up for us is we're planning some Japan tour again, some international touring. You know, that's the great thing about being an international band. We like Brazil, Mexico, Japan. We all have friends and family back home that can support us. And so we're really excited about the travels and more music, more new music. And
being known and growing your visibility.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the business right? side of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Proving your chops. And,
yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
Being great musicians. And,
yeah.
And sharing it with us. So will you share a little bit with us to
yes.
end the podcast?
All right. So this song is called Cold Lips and it's one of my new songs.
One, two, three. Thank you.
saw the fire rising up from afar, growing like a star in the night. Oh, the beauty in a broken heart made of clay left me with a heavy price to pay. He was like a dream with trouble in his eyes, told me all the tales I never heard.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.